On ABC Local Radio, you're with Rod Quinn. Time to talk DVDs with Rob Pemberton. Rob, good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
Look, in the past, I think it's been a fair criticism of me that I generally don't like too many movies. I just don't think they make movies perhaps the way they used to or as well as they used to. That is not this week. I think one of the films we're talking about this week was the best film I saw from 2015. And the other one was very, very good as well. And they were both set at pretty much exactly the same time, in the same place.
Both sitting in the Oscar race. And yeah. We're not talking about big films or complex films or films about big themes or important films. We're just talking about a couple of love stories.
No, I think they are about big themes in a way, and they are complex stories. I mean, there is no bigger theme, you're right, than love. And there's big themes in the sense of, you know, changing your whole life for somebody or because you want to make a better life for yourself. I think these are two really wonderfully, superbly made films. That's where you start. Thoughtful scripts and just every detail in both these films is marvellous, I think.
This is why you go to the pictures or why you go to the DVD store if you can find one.
So we're talking about Brooklyn and we're talking about Carol. And both of them, oddly enough, involve people working behind the counter of a New York department store in the 1950s.
Amazing that, isn't it?
It is.
And neither film was shot in New York.
No, and one is Brooklyn, obviously. The other one set mostly in Manhattan. But it's interesting that if only their lives had intersected. Let's start with Carol. Of course, better known here because Cate Blanchett plays the title role.
She does indeed. A mature woman, shall we say, in late 30s, early 40s, who's out shopping at a local department store in Manhattan, and behind the counter in the toy department is young Therese, played by Rooney Mara, who's it's effectively a coming of age. She's a very shy, introverted young girl who really wants to be a photographer and is just working at the toy store until she can find something more akin to her talents and aspirations. And she's not very experienced with either boys or girls. And she spies Cate across the department store floor and their eyes lock and something happens. And we are talking about a book, or the film translation of a book written in the 1950s, which was at its time very controversial. It was called The Price of Salt, written by Patricia Highsmith. And it's about a lesbian love story, and there weren't too many of those around in the 50s. It was renamed Carol when Highsmith, who had originally written it under a nom de plume, republished the book again, this time under her own name, and renamed the book Carol. And this is the film treatment of this love affair. It's a very emotional roller coaster of a film, although it's very quiet. A lot is done with looks. The director, Todd Haynes, wanted a restrained performance from both his leads, and that's exactly what he got in rehearsal. They tossed out a lot of the dialogue, and you see the film and you think, well, you can transmit so much emotion without words to go with it, and this is an evidence of this relationship that doesn't go the normal route, that lesbian relationships or gay relationships were portrayed in the 50s. It was quite a controversial plot line and still remains so, I suspect, in 2016.
Less so now, I would think.
You would hope.
And maybe that helps the film, because in a far more, we would hope, enlightened time, although, of course, events tell us that not everyone is as enlightened, you're able to look back and think, how terrible must it have been for these people who had to live these lives that were a lie, in essence, and how easy it is for some people in that situation now to live a far more open life. And so that really does tend to accentuate the problems that these women have. Look, if we are watching it at the time, you either have to pick up the signals of what's going on, or you missed out on these sorts of movies. Now, this is far more explicit. You know, it's obvious what's going on. But there were some movies made about, you know, gay or lesbian affairs in those days. But you just had to know what you're looking for when
That's
you're
right.
watching them.
That's right. Yeah, you had to pick up the visual and the verbal cues. This is just a very magnetic partnering, I think, of the two actors concerned. Blanchett got nominated for Best Actress and unfortunately didn't win, and Rooney Mara got nominated for Best Supporting Actress, although they're pretty much equal roles in the film.
Yes, they are, yeah.
But I suppose someone with Blanchard's CV, you don't put her in
That's right. Don't put
supporting
her in
role.
the supporting role.
No, no.
Now, Todd Haynes, interesting director, that he's made some strange films in the past, like Safe and Velvet Goldmine, I didn't think was very good. Far From Heaven, though, was a reimagining of the sorts of films that were made by people like Douglas Sirk back in the 40s and 50s, drenched with colour about kind of illicit romances, and it's kind of a return to that in a way, because the colour in this film is incredible. Like, the way it's filmed, the richness of the photography is, it makes it stand out. It's superb.
It does, and yet it's not overtly colourful. It's just the muted tones, but as you say, it's every frame is an absolute joy.
And just the illicitness of their relationship and the sadness that there is in Cate Blanchett's character, because she's obviously got married. She knows that ongoing relationship with a woman is not going to work for her, and that's not going to help her out in her life. She's had children, but she's married to a bloke, obviously, who knew the situation when they were married. That's, I think, made clear.
Yeah.
But even towards the end of the film, you don't know whether she's going to be true to herself, because this is still 1951, and, you know, things are very tough for women like this.
Easy to have a divorce, not so much when there's a child involved.
Yes.
And she's obviously a devoted mother.
Yeah.
And we're still not too sure that the Therese character, played by Rooney Mara, is totally convinced that this is the way she wants to lead her life. It's they're each torn in different directions, and yet there's this magnetic pull between the two lead actresses that overwhelms the rest of the subplots.
It's interesting because Patricia Highsmith has written some well-known books that became far better known as movies, Strangers on a Train. So that was made around about the time that this film is set, 1951.
Yeah.
So there was that kind of gay subplot bubbling under there as well, with that Hitchcock film, Strangers on a Train, but also The Talented Mr. Ripley, which I think is one of the great films, which also stars or featured Cate Blanchett in a very early role. That is a fantastically good film, but also, again, with a bit of a gay subplot. Then we had The Two Faces of January, which was similar to Talented Mr. Ripley, and that came out a couple of years ago, and I thought that was a really good movie as well. There's something about her. She wrote some very, very good films.
Well, this one, of course, is semi-autobiographical, which gives it added push, I think. It's a bit of a reveal about the author.
Interesting. So, highly recommend Carol, the Todd Haynes movie starring Cate Blanchett and Rooney Mara. Both you and I thought it was fabulous.
Indeed.
Although there is a certain coldness, maybe, about it.
Yep.
It's not a warm embrace of a movie. There is a certain arm's length that you are kept from the feelings of some of the characters?
Yes, and I think that's pretty much in keeping with the way the characters had to behave in that period.
Yes.
You're quite right. There's a reserve that you feel as an audience member. And maybe that's to the film's detriment. I'm not too sure about that, but it certainly lingers in the memory.
It certainly does. Carol, you're with Rod Quinn on ABC Local Radio and Rob Pemberton as well. Now, however, to the film that I thought was the best one of last year, nominated for an Oscar. Sadly, it didn't win. In fact, I don't think it won anything, which is a bit of a shame, but it's called Brooklyn. and it is about an Irish girl who migrates to the United States.
It's such a simple story. She's lonely, living in a small Irish village. She doesn't like any of the local boys. We're talking about the late 40s, early 50s again. And her sister, who's looking after her, realises how unhappy she is just working in the local grocery shop, and organises with a Catholic priest living in New York for her younger sister to travel over to New York to emigrate to the US of A, and he would look after her. And we follow this young girl, Ellis, played by Saoirse Ronan, in her first sort of stumblings around New York. She's very scared, very frightened, very shy, but she moves into a boarding house full of other Irish girls, run by a wonderful landlady, played by Julie Walters, who's absolutely magnificent in this film, so much so that the BBC are looking at doing a television series based on that character and the events in this film. Julie Walters is a standout. Jim Broadbent plays the kindly Father Flood, and it's just a simple love story that then gets a bit complex because she meets a young Italian boy, and probably young Irish girls and young Italian boys didn't have many opportunities to get together in the 50s in New York, in Brooklyn, but their blossoming love affair goes all the way, shall we say, and then suddenly she gets this message. She has to choose whether to go back to Ireland or stay in New York with her new lover. It's a coming of age film again, and really very sweet film. And it's a bit complex because the ties of home and the attraction of a new world are still there in the 1950s for a young Irish girl. And Saoirse Ronan is absolutely magnetic. She's just going to be one of the great actresses.
No doubt it. And this film shows that. She's been so good in just about every film that she's made. But this was a stellar performance from her, and I really thought she deserved to win. I know she wasn't going to win Best Actress because everyone knew that Brie Larson would do it in a far showier role, you might say. Role where you think, yes, you can see that you're acting, whereas Saoirse Ronan in this film just is superb. And
she was up against Cate Blanchett, of course.
She was, But so, you know, it was a very tough field this year. Mm. But there was just something about her performance that was magnetic. I was also glad to see a really positive portrayal of a priest in a movie. These days, we don't get that. But back in the 50s, maybe things were different. Not all that different, but certainly with Father Flood. I mean, Jim Broadbent is a great actor. He's won an Oscar. He's good in everything that he does.
Yeah.
But his role as this priest is just so touching and so beautiful. And I really enjoyed his role. And just, again, the attention to detail, like Carol, and the way they constructed the 1950s in New York. But the way that you see the way that young people interacted and the chances they got to meet, the small-mindedness of the town in Ireland is compared with the big New York City, and just the difference between her couple of voyages, which goes, you know, back home.
It's a wonderful bookend, a couple of bookends for the film, isn't it? She's so reserved when she first goes across, and by the time she makes her second trip, she's a far more confident lass.
Well, she has this terrible seasickness or something, or, you know, maybe food poisoning on the first trip over, and she's much wiser on the way back.
Able to give out tips.
That's right. She's able to help people with the same advice that somebody gave her on the way over. I just think this is a film that will only grow in reputation over the years, and it's a film that audiences cherish, and I found just one of the best films I've seen in a long, long time.
It's a standout because it's a simple film, it's a simple story, and every film you see these days comes with so many extra bits and pieces that sometimes the true narrative gets lost, but not so in this film.
Oh, just the scenes around the dinner table at the boarding house. Mm, as you say,
lovely stuff.
Julie Walters, okay, we've known she's been a good actress for 30 years, more than 30 years, ever since we saw her anyway for the first time in Educating Rita. She's, again, good in everything. She's fabulous in this.
Yeah.
And just a different time. I kept thinking also, you know, about Mad Men, even though this is set, you know, maybe 10 years before Mad Men or a few years before Mad Men, that's the same sort of thing. And over that decade that you watch Mad Men and, you know, life really changes for working women, this is what it was like before that. I just thought this is a wonderful, wonderful film. I cannot
recommend it. Well, if the BBC can get a series together, I think it'll be very popular because the characters we saw in the boarding house scenes were just fabulous, and you could just see a series full of them because they all had exciting lives to lead.
Yeah. And again, we should mention the screenplay was written by Nick Hornby.
Yes, and that helps.
It does, and it's an interesting thing because it's also based on a novel by Colm Tobin, one of the great modern Irish authors, and it's interesting that two men were able to write and find a woman's emotional centre as well as they do in this film, and it's interesting that Nick Hornby has written the screenplays to Brooklyn, to Wild, and also An Education, the movie that introduced us to Carey Mulligan, and Wild starred Reese Witherspoon, and they're three adaptations of novels about young women, or life stories in the case of Wild, that he is able to put on screen. He's now one of the great screenwriters.
It probably started as a second string to his bow.
Yeah.
The director, John Crowley, moved from Brooklyn onto the second season of True Detective.
Oh, dear.
I'm not quite sure whether he's going
backwards
in the right direction. Yes.
Interesting. Most people, when Nick Hornby became famous through writing Fever Pitch about Arsenal and about his love of Arsenal, they couldn't possibly have imagined that his career would have gone in this direction.
No, it's intriguing, isn't it? And is still churning out novels.
And those novels are turning into films as well.
Yes.
This has everything to recommend it. I could not find fault with anything to do with Brooklyn. I thought it was great.
Yep.
Rob, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
We'll talk to you again next week.
Will do.
Rob Pemberton on DVDs, Carol and Brooklyn.